When my wife Kim and I got married, we wanted to make sure that we had the same values, the same core beliefs, the same goals. The first thing on our goal list wasn't a big house, as most couples is. Our first goal was to build a business. And that's why we were homeless for a little while. We were actually homeless for about 3 weeks, which I write about in my new book, Cashflow Quadrant. And people kept saying, why don't you get a job? I said, because I'm not looking for one. Good. What I was doing was focusing my brain and my emotions and my heart and everything and doggedly staying out there building my business so that I don't have to work in anymore. That once that business was up and running, I had 11 offices throughout the world, I could retire. So by the time I was 40, I was out of the rat race. I was finished. We didn't go and buy a bigger house. Our next goal was to buy 2 houses per year. So when Kim and I got together, our goals, our focus, our whole reticular activated system, building a business and acquiring assets or other houses, other businesses, stocks, bonds. A lot of people think net worth is important. Net worth is nothing, because most of it is bogus anyway. What really counts is how much is your cash flow. When you evaluate a company, right, you're looking at its cash flow, not its net worth. Or what I'm looking at is, can I improve its cash flow? Because if I can improve its cash flow, I've improved the business. And that's the big mistake people make. They actually think their net worth is something. And then most times, because they've got liabilities listed as assets, their net worth is worthless. It's absolutely worthless. What really counts is this. How long can you live if you stop working today? My rich dad used to tell me, if you're 40 years old and can't stop working because you got bills to pay, you've mismanaged your money. It should only take you 20 years to become financially free, he told me. So that so many people today are still going out there looking for more money so they can buy new doodads and things rather than focus on the asset column. The reason I'm financially free is very simply in my brain is what my goals were. My goals were assets. And that's what cash flow trains you. It punishes you for making more money. It punishes you for buying doodads. And it rewards you for investing. And the purpose of cash flow is to train your brain to think like a rich person. And if it's hard and strenuous, it's because it's changing your thinking. So, Dan, would you say something about why the game is hard for most people?
I've played it with a number of people, and the comments I hear is, it takes too long, or I don't understand this, why do I have to know this, or this is my favorite. I've got somebody else who will do this for me.
Right.
A great example is your average person who thinks of themselves as very successful, maybe making $100,000 a year working for someone else.
Or they're self-employed. It means they can't quit. In other words, if they quit working, so does their business.
Right, exactly. So they're perhaps a professional, but they are the business. There's nothing over there that they could sell or liquidate. There's no other asset. Exactly. So they, in the terms of the world out there, are very successful. But they have 2 car payments and they have a house and they have
kids
a couple
in private school.
Exactly. Kids in private school and saving up and orthodontia bills, da 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 da. Those are the people who don't want to worry about the game. They've got somebody else worrying about their balance sheet. But actually, what I can tell you is they've got somebody else watching their balance sheet for the other person's benefit. Be very careful of the advisors that you choose. Notice a couple of things. One is, what kind of experience do they have? If they're telling you to invest in real estate, do they have any real estate? Secondly, what's the benefit? I loved your example that you use of the banker who tells you, keep buying bigger houses and bigger houses. Well, this is a little known fact, but at a certain income level, you lose your mortgage interest deduction. So it's no longer tax deductible. I've had a number of clients who suddenly come to that realization at the end of the year. The banker's advice to keep buying a bigger and bigger house, they lost a deduction because it doesn't count for them anyway.
Right, and this is the hard part you and I talk about, is when a banker says your house is an asset, is your banker lying or telling the truth?
Oh, it is an asset.
But it's not your asset, is it?
Yeah.
And it's never your asset, because even if you paid off the mortgage, you still owe real estate taxes on it. And so the programming we've been conditioned to from the time we were born, get a safe, secure job, buy a big house, and then because you work harder, your taxes go up. And because your taxes go up, your accountant or your banker will say, buy a bigger house, because you get a tax deduction. And that's the programming that I am working against. And what it sounds logical to 90% of the population is the main reason 90% of the population is broke. It's because they've been taking advice from people who are in the same boat as you are. I mean, I've really never met too many rich bankers. I've never met too many rich accountants. I've never met too many rich school teachers. But they're operating on this advice handed down from generation to generation from the industrial age. Well, I'm saying this, by the year 2000, we're going to hit some of the biggest economic changes ever. Things we haven't seen yet. And, you know, as Dylan says, you better start swimming or you're going to sink like a stone. These people with 401ks, I don't know if they realize this, but they can be wiped out in the next coming depression, which is overdue right now because we have a depression every 75 years. And the last one was in 1930, so we're about due right now. And if I'm a historian of economic history, and if a person lives to 75 years of age, you will go through two recessions and one depression. Well, the World War II generation, my parents, went through their depression, and they understand. That's why they were savers. But the baby boomers right now have never really seen a bad down market. And I travel the world, just in Indonesia and in China and Malaysia and Japan, and that crash could happen to us someday. And most people are saying, well, we're America. The trouble is our government has ran up such a debt, counting assets as liabilities and all this, that we're precarious right now. It may not happen, but it also could. And I'm saying prepare for it.
Exactly. And you've got a key point there. We know change is coming. And I think to those listening, the question is how do you react to that? If you're excited by that, if you see a problem you can solve, you will prosper beyond your dreams in this change.
Thanks for saying that, because when I talk about doom and gloom, I'm not talking about doom and gloom. I'm talking about doom and boom. In other words, most people fail to realize is that when the rich really get rich is during times of economic downturn, and they ride the next upturn. And what happens with people who are not financially literate, not financially trained, is they're the ones who come in late to the party and then get wiped out of the top of a market, and then they lose all the money, and the money is transferred. It's transferred from those who are educated, uneducated, to those who are educated financially. That's why in 1987, the stock market crash was the best thing that ever happened to me. Everybody was crying the blues. But what they were losing was being transferred to people like me who had been trained in financial intelligence, all the things that the game cash flow teaches you. So cash flow is really designed to prepare you for these changes coming so that you'll be able to take advantage of the problems rather than look for old answers.
Exactly. And that also brings up another point that's very similar to what we were talking about with education. I know people that decide now after listening to this kind of thing, I think I need to go get an accounting degree. That is the wrong answer. What you need is financial intelligence, just like the emotional intelligence. This is something that's within yourself. It's not something you can learn from a book. You need some skills, basic skills you can learn from the game cash flow. You need to learn how to problem solve. That's the key.
That's right. And so cash flow is really designed for people who want to be A-type investors. If you want to just look for answers, the game will be long, boring, and tedious. The game does not take long. What takes long is learning the game. And I saw this one very high-paid top banker. It took him 6 hours, and the guy never got out of the rat race. And he turned to me and says, this game is terrible. You know, he says, it's too slow. It's too long. It's too boring. And I said, thank you, you know, and walked off. But he realized most bankers are employees. They're not investors. And what cash flow is really designed for are people who want to become business owners or investors. I think ultimately within 50 years, we're all going to have to be that anyway. The idea of a safe, secure job with the government taking care of you for your retirement is an obsolete idea.
Well, you're really raising some fascinating issues in terms of the learning problem. If I want to learn something new, how do I change my own habits? How do I change my own behaviors? I've made the choice, I want to do this, and yet I find myself going through the same thought patterns and the same actions. So one of the things that I have discovered in playing cash flow is that if I play cash flow with people who are successful, if I change who it is I'm playing with, I can change my strategies.
You know, sometimes it's hard for me to look at the real world because most of my friends have lots of money. You know, they're not concerned about bills. They have more than enough money to send their kids to school. They're excited that the economy is going up, and even more excited the economy might come down. And it's a different outlook, a different point of view. They're not looking for security. They're looking for happiness and fun because, for me, cash flow is not a game. Cash flow is really my life, and that's all I ever do.
Cash flow is looking for problems.
That's right.
And that is changing the way I think. So when I say, oh, I'm going to look for a problem, I'm looking in the way the game is played, I'll go for the deals, the harder deals, which give me the opportunity to look for problems. But that brings me to the idea of how do I change the way I feel about these deals? And yes, I get scared. So one of the things that I realize is that practice helps me. So the more I play the game, the more ingenious I become in the strategies that I use. When my first time I played the game, I was dead in the waters after 3 hours, and I never got out of the rat race. The second time I played the game, I got out of the rat race in less than an hour and a half. And it was so stunning for me to have that experience. I couldn't really analyze what I had done differently. It was an unconscious decision. I was stunned. And when I started to get my left brain, my logical analysis involved in it, it took away all the fun I had in experiencing that hit. So one of the things that I have discovered since then is that there's an unconscious process that is going on.
But isn't that what you study in educational psychology? Learning is actually unconscious.
Learning is unconscious. And as a matter of fact, if you try to bring it up to consciousness, you can actually destroy the learning that you've experienced. So I have an intelligence that goes beyond what I think I know. And that's counterintuitive. You know, Robert, as human beings, we can train our brain to see things that our eyes can't see.
That's well said. It's because it's an opportunity of a lifetime right in front of you every minute of the day, except that your brain has not been trained to see it because your eyes can't see it. What you actually see is actually in the brain. It's income statement, balance sheet, it's communication systems, it's taxes. It's all the things the eyes cannot see. And that's why people who can see sometimes are completely blind when it comes to money. When it's sitting right in front of you all the time. So the object of game cash flow is play it enough times so you begin to train your brain, number one, to think differently, to look for different goals, and to begin to analyze with your mind what your eyes cannot see. Because there's so much abundance. There's so much opportunity. It really shocks me when somebody says, oh, I don't have money. I can't afford it. What should I buy? And it's because, very simply, I'm not making fun of it, is we've been trained since children to go to school, get good grades, look for a nice, safe, secure job, and expect the company or the government to take care of you. And that's also what we look for if we're programmed to think that way. And cash flow designed to unprogram that so you can see the bounty and the abundance and the fun right in front of you, not the fear of losing.
Well, you're talking about a profound shift in our consciousness. And I think it's as profound as when my eyes, when I look out at the world and I see the world is flat. But my brain, my vision, my knowledge is different because I've had the benefit of seeing the Earth from the point of view of an astronaut going up into space.
Well, that perspective is called.
Yes, we have a different perspective. But that's what cash flow can help you bring to your own brain, a different perspective about looking for those deals that create abundance.
And there's millions of them. Diane, we talked about earlier, people say it takes a long time to play the game. I saw this young woman take 20 minutes to get out of the rat race and onto the fast track. See, cash flow is on two tracks. It's a dual track game. There's a rat race, which most people are programmed to get into, and then there's a fast track where the hardcore capitalists operate. And to get onto the fast track, you have to change your perspective and think differently. But I've seen this young woman get out in three moves. So the objective, I say to people, if it takes you 6 hours the first time, see if you can get it down to 2 hours. And eventually, if you can get out of the rat race three times in a row under an hour, your brain has been changed permanently and you will think differently. That's what I guarantee you. But if you play the game once and you say it's all too hard, I don't understand the words, this is boring, or as Diane says, I'll let my accountant handle it for me, then you've made a decision at that point to be in a Group B type of investor. Or a Group C, which says, I don't have any problems here. I'm not going to deal with it. Cash flow was designed for people who want to become investors or people who want to be better at managing their cash flows. Because it's not how much money you make. It's how well you manage the cash flow that you make that determines whether you're rich or poor. Because I've had a friend who made $400 million at the age of 35 and was broke by age 40, bankrupt. Because he couldn't manage how much he made. And so some of the big fallacies that people have, if they think it's how much money you make or it takes money to make money, no. It starts with a foundation of cash flow management, of knowing simply the difference between an asset and a liability, knowing that the government is your greatest expense, is taxes, and then debt's your second largest expense. So what would you say about that, Diane?
when you talked about managing money, I think the first thing you have to know is how to measure it. And I'm not telling people they have to learn how to do debits and credits and the technical things that accountants and bookkeepers do, but rather be able to look at a statement at a glance and say, oh, I've got a problem here. When you learn that skill, you can look at a company and take a look at their financial statements and say, this is a good buy because I can fix this problem.
That's correct. I don't look at the numbers. I look at where the cash is flowing. If somebody's vacuum cleaning your wallet every day because you think that boat is an asset, then you better start changing your thinking on what an asset or liability is. So most people, their problem isn't the amount of money they're making. It's which way the cash is flowing. Is it flowing out of the expense column or you know, back into your pocket? And it's really quite simple. That's what cash flow is designed to do, so for people to take control of their finances. Because if you don't take control of your finances and start acquiring assets, you're going to work hard all your life for other people, for the bank, for the government, and you'll wonder why you're working harder and not getting ahead. But it starts with a fundamental change inside your head of what are you looking for? What are your goals? If you stop working today, how many days could you survive if you stop working? Our assets feed us whether we work or not. And this is the trick I want to say to people is the moment I had enough income from all my investments, my real estate, my apartment houses, and all this, I got richer simply because I had more free time to look at more deals. And that's why the rich get richer is because their assets are providing them the time to do what they really like. And somebody says, well, you know, what do you do for fun? I said, everything is fun. Because looking for deals is fun, playing golf is fun, taking trips with my other friends are fun, as we look for deals. That's all we do all day long. But it starts with fundamental cash flow management. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I love that idea of the fun, too. And in the game cash flow, we have these two different tracks that you're on. And you get out of the rat race when your passive income exceeds your expenses.
Right.
In other words, the money's actually working for you and is able to cover all of your expenses. There is a point where that happens. And suddenly, there's this incredible freedom.
You've seen that, right, with some of your clients?
Absolutely. I've experienced it.
Right.
And just from firsthand experience, when that happens, it's suddenly life becomes lots of fun because you can look for deals. And if I decided to take 6 months off, I could take 6 months off. I don't need to worry about that.
And isn't it true it takes less and less money? You know, mm-hmm. People says it takes money to make money. No, it doesn't take money to make money. It takes experience to make money and knowledge to make money. But if you lack experience, you lack knowledge, then it takes lots of money and lots of risk. And the more knowledge and experience you have, the less money it takes and the less risk it takes. And that's why the rich get richer. But if you've been programmed and you cannot let go of that fear of job security or I got to do it by myself, I'm going to be self-employed, I'm going to be a man of myself and all this stuff, and I'm going to work hard and make lots of money and spend it, then you'll never, ever experience freedom. You may experience security or some semblance of security, but never the freedom that money can buy. And that's why rule number one that my rich dad taught me, the rich do not work for money. What you need to learn is how to have money work for you. So that's why I build businesses, and with my businesses, I invest in assets. And that's the secret of the rich, and that's what cash flow is designed to teach.
When you talked about the person who wants to continue working hard, I keep getting that image of the person on the treadmill. They're secure because they're on the treadmill, but if they stop, they're thrown off the back. And that's what happens in real life if you're counting on a security of a job. What happens if you lose that job? You're downsized or you get injured.
Right.
What happens?
So if we could summarize right now, we could go around the table and say if you had two tips, so Diane, what would they be?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is to choose your advisors, but still remember that the responsibility for decisions is your own. Somebody else can't tell you what to do. You need to do it yourself.
And if I could piggyback on what Diane just said, when I interviewed Diane, she was going to advise me to be my CPA, take care of the things I do not know. The thing that I was most impressed was that not only is she a CPA, she is an investor. In other words, her profession is a CPA, but she minds her own businesses. And she has lots of assets in her asset column, as well as her profession, her self-employed profession, the CPA. That moment, I knew we were on the same wavelength, the same as real estate agents. There's good ones and bad ones. And when I choose a real estate agent, I want to make sure that real estate agent is also an investor, because most real estate agents are salespeople, the same as financial planners. Most financial planners, bless their hearts, but they're selling insurance. And you need that stuff, and you need to know their tax strategies. But you'd be very careful on who you take advice from. And the same with a banker. find a private banker, because it's hard to explain to the ordinary banker in the supermarket that I don't have a job, I don't have any income, and I don't pay much in taxes. They said, well, you can't get a loan. I said, aren't you terrible? Aren't you sad? I said, no. See, to not have a job, to have not much income and pay a little in taxes, to me is very smart. But to the average banker, that's really stupid. But to me, that makes more sense. I have to find a banker who that makes sense to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we don't even communicate. So that's what I mean by advisors.
Before we go on, I'd like to say this as well. You are smarter than you think. You are smarter than what your teachers have taught you. You have an incredible learning machine. Your brain is so flexible that you are learning all the time. You can choose to learn in such a way that you are having fun as you experience problems.
Thank you. My tip is this. One of the biggest mistakes I hear people say is, well, do what you love and the money will follow. That's not my experience. A big part is to do what you love, but you also need to know, what do I need to learn even though I don't want to learn it? And that's the key to intelligence. In other words, I can't hire somebody to go to the gym for me to work out. It's my body. I got to go to the gym. I got to work out. So the definition of intelligence is knowing what I need to learn and what I can lay off on somebody else to learn for me. And there's certain things you must learn. Of all the things that have made me most money, I didn't like any of them. I didn't like cash flow management. I didn't like systems management. I didn't like communications. I didn't like taxes, and I didn't like product knowledge. I didn't like any of that stuff. I liked history and economics. And if I had done that, I'd have been a great professor, but a broke one. So what my rich dad encouraged me to do is to learn, to know what you need to learn, even though you don't want to learn it. And for me, learning those five steps is the main reason I'm free. I don't need any money. I can make money without money. There's no project too big or too small. I mean, whether it's a duplex or the Taj Mahal, I want to say the biggest tip of all is intelligence is knowing to learn what you need to learn, even though you may not want to learn it. And if you do that, then what you love will become more effective. You'll be able to reach more people. You'll be able to spread your passion. But if your passion is only confined to what you know, then all you're going to do is be a self-employed person working hour by hour and working hard all your life and struggling financially. And that's not too intelligent. What's your tip?
Okay, this is the hottest investment tip you can do. Invest in yourself. That's the key, because I could tell you to go buy an office building in Phoenix or Houston or Austin or whatever, and tomorrow the market might fall out. But the key is, if you educate yourself, if you take the time and energy it takes, and money too, to learn the lessons, then no matter what happens, you'll be ready for incredible success.
If I could piggyback on that one, because a lot of people think investing is go out and buying something. That's the last thing you want to do. Buying something is the last. That's like a lot of people think golf is hitting the golf ball. Well, golf is not hitting the golf ball. It's all the preparation you go through prior to hitting that golf ball.
Not only invest in yourself and educate yourself, but be willing to experience both the failures that you'll experience as a learner, just like a baby learning to walk. The baby doesn't go right foot, and the baby goes right foot, left foot to learn to walk. And every once in a while, the baby will clunk right down on his little diapered butt. You will too. And does the baby cry and stop learning to walk? No. The baby sometimes will even laugh, because in some ways that shift in the posture is itself exhilarating. So when you can change your experience of the failures that you'll experience as a learner, you shift that fear into fun, then you will have an enormous advantage over people who, after a failure, stop learning.
And my tip is this. If you want to be what I call the class A type investor, or get out of the rat race of things, the number one skill is cash flow management. We've talked about it and why the game cash flow teaches. But I think Diane will back this up, is you've got to be able to keep records. I mean, you have to know where you are. In other words, you go to a doctor and the doctor does a blood pressure test and he reads you these numbers. And if you don't do that annually, you don't know if your health is increasing or decreasing. The problem with most people is they never do a financial checkup, and they wait until the day they're about to die, when they realize they've had cancer, financial cancer, all their lives, and they look in and they've got a lot of income, they've got a lot of debt, and they've had a lot of expenses, and all that money has blown out the expense column. They have nothing in the asset column. The only way you can know moment to moment if you're progressing or declining financially is whether or not your income's going up, expenses going down, liabilities going down, and assets going up. And that's which way is the cash flowing. I check financially where I'm at on a monthly basis. Are my assets increasing or decreasing? Most people are clueless. They don't even know the difference between an asset and a liability. And suddenly they wake up and their banker says, you know, you better shape up or they just lose their job. You see, in the information age, the idea was that seniority counted. In the information age, seniority is a liability because who has the most up-to-date information, who is most current that gets the job. So you have to keep getting educated. And one of the educations that's absolutely imperative, especially if you don't have a safe, secure job and you don't expect the government to take care of you, is you've got to pull the records, the diagnostic. You've got to know what are your assets. And the guideline I have is this. By the time you're 45 years old, you should be able to write a check for at least $500,000, which means if you continue on track, you should have $1.5 million by the time you retire at age 65 if you're very conservative. But at age 45, if you haven't got that $500,000 you can write the check for, at least you have 20 more years if you live from 45 to 65. You see, our working ages are 25 to 65 approximately. You know, we're completely incompetent at age 25, although we can't know he'll tell us that. And by the time you're 45, if you don't have it there in your hands, that means you don't have it in your head yet. And at least at age 45, you have 20 more years to get it into your head because money only appears in your head, then it appears in your hand. If money is not in your head, it won't stick to your hands. And then we've seen a lot of rich people go broke really quickly. So that's why the diagnostic, and ask yourself this, can I write a check today? I mean today, liquid, $500,000. If you can't, then I would start rethinking what my thoughts are thinking. And that goes into mental as well as emotional. There's a story that I hear about Einstein. He was working at Princeton. And his undergraduate student walked up to him and says, Mr. Einstein, we have this graduate class. What test are we going to give him? He says, oh, same test we gave him last week. And the undergraduate said, but Mr. Einstein, we gave him the same test last week. He says, Einstein says, yes, but the answers are different this week. That's what's happening right now is the answers are changing. And if you stay with old industrial age ideas and not shift to information ideas, you know, I'm afraid at age 65, you're going to be an old person wondering what happened to your life, riddled with financial cancer, even though you've been pumping weights at the gym for all that time. So that's my tip. You've got to become financially literate and take control of your financial destiny and do it as early as possible. Now, for those of you who are over 45, always remember this. Colonel Sanders started at age 66. So it's never, you know, what's the best time to start? It's now. However old you are, it doesn't take much. It's just focus on goals in the asset column. It doesn't take much money. It doesn't take much intelligence. It doesn't take much education because I have done it that way. I've seen people, they try and do the big deals. It's not the big deals. It's the little deals that make the big deals. Always remember that. So the sooner you start, the better it is. But it first starts changing your thoughts, your ideas, and your emotions.
One of the things that I envision is that by 10 years out, we'll have people being able to have goals that are very similar in terms of cash flow and cash flow management. You'll be talking about returns on investments. You'll be talking about deals. You'll be talking about
internal rates of return, cash flow analysis.
And you'll stop talking about doodads.
Right.
And picking up that $17,000 boat, unless your assets have thrown off that money.
Right. My assets buy my luxuries.
Assets buy your luxuries. What a statement.
I picture the whole thing as a pyramid, and at the very base, the foundation of all of the growth is the financial literacy.
Or cash flow management, financial literacy, financial intelligence, yes.
Exactly. And the ability to measure where you are, and added on to that is where are you going. There's a great examples of people who suddenly win the lottery, win millions of dollars, and 3 years later are bankrupt. They were in trouble before they won the money. Money doesn't solve problems. People solve problems.
Right. Money accentuates the problem that's already there. I mean, many people who are poor cash flow managers and their idea is, well, I'm going to start my own company. And what they do is they transfer their lack of education or their poor management into the company. And we have politicians that do that. We've mismanaged our government. And so that's why I created this board game, Cash Flow, to help people find out where they're at and then support them in going for their financial dreams. And the way you do that is getting educated, taking control, and thinking higher thoughts than what you've been taught to think a lot of the times. My wife and I were homeless back in 1985, and less than 5 years later, we were multimillionaires. But it does take a change of heart, a change of gut, a change of thinking, a seeking new ways of thinking. And that's why I created Cash Flow. Cash Flow, what I suggest is purchase the game. It comes with 3 audio tapes and a videotape. Get together with 3 or 4 other friends and make this agreement, which is probably the hardest thing you can do because everybody's so busy because they're working so hard. And you say, we're going to play this game once a month. And if you play this game diligently once a month for a year, you will find your financial intelligence will grow. The game will become so easy. It'll be more fun because you'll get out really quickly. Then you bring your other friends who don't know anything about it. And you rip them to, you know, you play against them and you show them how much you know and you have a great time. But in that process, in the safety of playing a game, eventually your whole life will begin to change slowly. It's like changing the direction of the huge ship, the Titanic. You start steering it away from the iceberg, and you start changing your thinking slowly, because it is a slow process. But I promise you this, if you do that diligently, it will pick up speed. It's like going to the gym after being, you know, sedentary for a long time. It's the first week that the pain is the greatest. But after a while, when your body starts looking a little bit better and all this stuff, finally you find yourself more excited about going back and working out. And pretty soon you're hanging out with friends who aren't watching TV and drinking beer. Your new friends are looking good and pumping weights and, you know, excited about their health. Well, the same is true for wealth. Wealth and health are very similar. The process is the same. It doesn't take long, but what it does take is a change of thinking, a decision, and a commitment to seek new goals, seek new ways of thinking, because the real change of wealth is not outside of you, it's inside of you. And the last thing is the economy is going to change, and really do prepare yourself for the changes, because it is during the periods of change that you have the most opportunity to get wealthy. Not during pairs of flats. So we're coming upon the spikes and the peaks and the valleys right now. If you're really well prepared, you'll make money very quickly, not slowly. But you have to do your side of it, which is get prepared. So you need to make a choice. Which three am I going to be? Which way am I going to go? And all three have different avenues or different directions, different information to seek. But it's a very personal decision. For those of you who seek category A, I would highly recommend, you know, acquiring the game cash flow, you know, find three other people, get them involved in it, and then play and play and play. If you want more advanced stuff or more advanced technology, we have our cash flow coaches, people who will support you through the program to go through your, because money is just emotion and thought. It's nothing to do with real stuff. Money is not real. It's just your emotion and your thoughts. So support you through that, get you out of debt, moving you forward. And we also have the business school for investors, for people who want to come in the real high flying, but at that point, you can come and hang out with us at that level. So there's a lot of things to do, but the first step is you have to make a decision what you want to be, what you want to do, and where you want to go.
Today, Robert, Dr. Ann Nevin, and CPA Diane Kennedy have been discussing what Robert's rich dad taught him about money. In his closing statement, Robert said, first, you have to make a decision about what you want to be. Reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad will help you with this most important first step. And since repetition plays such an important part in learning, especially when you are replacing old habits and ways of thinking, you will benefit by listening to this tape and reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad often. One of the questions most people ask after reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad or listening to this tape is, how do I get started? That's why Robert created the game Cashflow to help you develop the financial intelligence you need to decide what you want to do and where you want to go. Robert says the rich have an advantage. They learn about money at home and not in school. When it comes to money, they don't play by the same rules. That's because when it comes to money, they aren't playing the same game. Cashflow levels the playing field. You can find copies of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad at major bookstores everywhere. Or you can order Rich Dad, Poor Dad and the Cash Flow Program by phone. In the U.S., call 800-308-3585 all day, every day to acquire these valuable educational tools. You know the cliche about the longest journey begins with a single step? Your journey toward financial intelligence and ultimate financial freedom begins with a single phone call. When you call 800-308-3585, you'll be taking a giant step on your own path to financial freedom.